The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter. The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in a boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. When they had crossed over, they came to a land at Gennesaret and moored the boat. When they got out of the boat, people at once recognized him and rushed about that whole region and began to bring the sick on mats to wherever he heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages or cities or farms, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak. And all who touched it were healed. The Gospel of the Lord. May be seated, and I invite the children to come forward for the children's sermon.
Good morning. I have got something I'd like to show you this morning. Do you have any idea what this is?
A map.
That's right. It's a map. How many of you have been on vacation this summer? Where are you going?
On a cruise on my birthday.
Okay. I'm going to Colorado. Okay. Colorado. Okay. So, if you go on vacation, do you use a map like this? Oh, some people do. Some people use a GPS in their car. You use a GPS, or you might use your smartphone. Yeah, that's right. You know, vacations are really important. In our gospel this morning, we heard that you went to the beach. Wonderful. Did you use a map? Okay.
I'm going to the beach, and I already went.
Wonderful. You know, some people say they're going on vacation, but they take their cell phones or they take their laptops or the iCloud. Do you think that's a real vacation? Perfect. In our gospel this morning that Pastor just read, the disciples had been working very hard. They were helping the people around them, and they came to Jesus to tell him what they had done. But they also said, "We didn't even have time to eat." And so Jesus said to them, "Come with me. Let's go away to a very quiet place and rest." That's a vacation, isn't it? Even Jesus knew that we needed a vacation. Okay. So, when you go on vacation, remember that Jesus is with you. He was with the disciples as they went on their short journey. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for giving us home, school, and a time to rest. In your name, amen. Thank you guys for coming up.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. A woman lost her husband and son in a tragic accident, her only son. And she was beside herself with grief. The grief was consuming her life, and no one was able to console her. Finally, a friend took her to the home of a wise and holy man. And she cried to the wise and holy man, "Can't you do something about my grief? Can't you bring my son and my husband back to life? Can't you help me do something about this?" And the wise man thought for a moment, and he said, "Yes, I can do something. Bring me the seed of a rose from a home that has known no sorrow, and your grief will be gone." The woman started her search for that rose seed. She came upon a mansion, and she figured, here, certainly, they have no sorrow in this mansion because they have everything they need. They do not know hunger. They do not know want. They do not need of anything. They have it all, even protection. If they get sick, they can have the best doctors and medical treatment. And so she went to the door and knocked, and she stated her question, do you live in a home that has roses and you have known no sorrow? And the woman kind of laughed at her. "Known no sorrow," she says. And she started in all the troubles and the sorrows and the grief that that family had experienced. And she invited the woman in so they could visit more. The woman stayed for several days. And when she left, the woman of the house felt better. She felt better for being able to talk to someone else about her troubles and grief. And so the woman traveled on, and she came next to a fairly moderate house and thought, "Well, maybe I'll try here." And so she knocked on the door again. She stated why she was there, and the woman at the door said, "What? Known no sorrows. Let me tell you what has happened." And again, she went into a story and invited that woman into the home. The woman went from place to place, and whether it was mansion or house or hut, every home had known some kind of sorrows or grief or despair. But as the woman went into these homes, and as she listened to these people, and as she had compassion for these people, when she left, the people of the homes all felt a burden had lifted from them. And as she continued on in that search for the rose, she soon forgot about that rose seed. And her grief was also lifted from her. The amazing thing about our faith is that when we offer care and compassion to others, it seems that our own grief and sorrows and troubles are put into a different perspective. They're not so consuming of our lives. And in a sense, we ourselves are healed as we heal others. Our gospel lesson today, Jesus talks or he shows compassion at a number of different times, even when he himself had needs to be alone, to be quiet, and to grieve. Jesus had his own needs to attend to, but yet he had compassion upon people. Now, to fully understand where we're at in this story today, if you've noticed in the gospel reading itself, there's a number of verses that have been left out. In the verses that are left out, there's actually a couple of stories. But to understand all of this, we need to go back to the beginning of Mark chapter 6, because the whole of Mark chapter 6 encompasses all these stories. And some of those stories we've heard in the past weeks as the gospel was read. The first story in Mark chapter 6 is when Jesus goes back to his own hometown. And he finds out he can do no ministry there. They see him still as a young boy and not as the Savior of the world. But that doesn't discourage Jesus. Jesus has work to do. Jesus has a ministry to take care of. And so he goes around to the surrounding towns and villages. And he is mobbed by all the people. When people see who's there, when they recognize him and they understand what he can do and what he can say, people mob him. But again, this doesn't discourage Jesus because he has compassion upon these people. And he actually sees that as an opportunity. He sees that as an opportunity then for the disciples to get their feet wet. And so he sends his disciples out two by two to proclaim the kingdom of God and cast out demons, to heal and to speak with people about the kingdom of God. And so he sends them out two by two to do ministry. In the meantime, then, we come to the story which we read last week about the execution of John the Baptist. And that's where our story today picks up, that the apostles gathered around Jesus and they told him all that they had done and taught. The disciples needed time to decompress. They needed to tell Jesus. They were excited about what had happened. They had, in the name of Jesus, they had cast out demons. They had made people well again. People had listened to them. Or maybe there were even some stories then of where they were rejected. Or they maybe needed some pointers. Jesus, this didn't go so well. Can you help me with this situation if I face that again some other time? They needed to talk. They needed to visit. But yet, where they were, people were still coming and going, looking for the ministry of Jesus. There was no quiet time. Jesus didn't have time to talk with his disciples. It even says here he had no time even to eat. And so it was time to get away, a time just to take a break. Jesus also needed time for himself. He needed time to pray. He needed time to recharge. He needed time to grieve the loss of his cousin, John the Baptist. And he probably needed to think as well then, what does all this mean for my own ministry? And also to think about what will be coming when he goes to Jerusalem. So Jesus and the disciples get in a boat and they head off towards the other side of the lake to a quiet place, to a wilderness, to a place where there are no towns and villages. And as they're heading over there though, people see where they're going. And so people start moving around the lake, and as they come to a town or a village, the village people say, "Hey, where are you going? What's going on? Why are you rushing through town so fast?" And they tell him, "Jesus is coming to the other shore, and he's going to be over there." And so they start to come. And so as Jesus is moving across the lake, all the people are moving around the lake. And when Jesus gets to the other side of the shore, it's not a quiet place any longer. It's not a lonely place. It's not a place without people. Instead, there's a huge crowd. And Mark puts that crowd at 5,000 men besides women and children. So you're looking at a crowd of maybe 10,000, maybe 15,000 people in an area that is supposed to be deserted. Jesus knows he is not going to have any peace and quiet at this point. He could have turned around and gone somewhere else, but no. It says in here, he had compassion upon them. He saw them as sheep without a shepherd. They needed a leader. They needed help. They needed direction in their lives. And this is then where we have our gap in the scripture, because Jesus then did minister to them all day long. I'm sure the disciples were helping as well then too. They had just experienced and were starting to get maybe a little bit more confident in their own ministries. And so all of them were working hard that day. But then as evening was starting to set in, as the day was starting to get late, the disciples started to get worried. You've got 10 or 15,000 people here, and there's no food. There's no town or village right here to buy it. There's no grocery store. And so they approached Jesus. "Jesus, you've got to send them away so that they can get food. You know how irritable people get when they get hungry. Send them away. Go let them find some food." And Jesus says, "No, you feed them." Isn't that what the disciples had been doing and they never realized it? They had been feeding the people through the ministry. They had been healing people. They had been speaking the words of Jesus. They had been casting out demons. They had been feeding the people with Jesus Christ. But they've been feeding them spiritually, and now Jesus tells them, feed them physically as well. And that's where we get the story of the feeding of the 5,000, because with just a few loaves of bread and a couple of fish, Jesus feeds all these people, and there's more food left over. When everyone had finished eating, Jesus puts his disciples back in the boat, and the disciples take off, but Jesus stays on the shore, and he dismisses the crowd. The people go home, and finally, Jesus gets that time to rest. He has that time to rest. He goes on a mountain to pray, and he prays. I'm sure he thinks about John the Baptist and the grief that he is going through. He prays about his own ministry. He prays for his disciples in their ministry. And he prays for himself that God may continue to bless him and give him strength. Well, then in early morning, he needs to catch up with the disciples. But rather than going around the lake, walking around the lake, because the disciples are out on the lake in a boat, Jesus just simply walks across the water. And as he gets closer to the disciples, though, they don't understand. They think it's a ghost, and they're afraid, and they're scared. But Jesus says, no, it is I. And he climbs into the boat with them. And they head back towards the shore. And that's where our lesson picks up again. That as they came to the, as they crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret and moored the boat. But again, as soon as they got off, as soon as they got out of the boat, there were more people. They recognized Jesus, and Jesus still had compassion upon them. And he ministered to them. He healed the sick. He cast out demons. He spoke the word of God to them. He preached to them. He taught them. He had compassion upon them and had ministry for them. Even though Jesus had his own needs, he always put the needs of others in front, always ready and willing to serve. We too are called to be disciples of Jesus and to follow in his path. We too can have compassion for one another. Rather than seeing a crowd and pushing our way through, maybe we can see ways of moving people along in their lives. Rather than being overwhelmed by our own concerns and our own worries and our own griefs, maybe we can look at the griefs and concerns of others and help them through that. And by doing that, it puts our own worries in perspective. And it also teaches us how to deal with our own issues in life as well, with our own troubles. It gives us some perspective, and it helps us to move us through life as well when we have compassion for other people. When we help to heal other people, when we listen to other people, when we open our hearts and our minds to people, it's not only healing to those whom we are helping, it is also healing for us. Jesus has compassion upon us, and he has taught us a way to be compassionate towards each other, and he has taught us then as well that his compassion does heal us. We follow Christ as his disciples. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.